The truth of any matter can be a continual search. How do you determine it? What is the barometer you use to establish verity in your life? There are so many outlets vying for your attention, attempting to define and redefine truth at every turn. The verity of the Word of God is the only standard that matters and never changes. It is the only truth that is perpetual and invariable, whether you believe it or not. Relying upon it as the authority in your life will bring you closer to your purpose and align you with its verity. Please join me on this episode of the Spoken Verity Podcast as my co-hosts and I speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God, in love. It's Friday, TSV family, so your favorite podcast, the Spoken Verity Podcast, is on the air. I am Wiley Harris III, and I am here with my brother Sozo, the co-host for this episode, for our 41st engagement with you, our faithful, Holy Spirit-entrusted audience, as we bring you the latest word through TSV from our sovereign God. Man of God, how are you?
I am well, brother. How are you?
Yeah, tremendous. Thank you. Amen. I am so excited to unpack this topic of discussion for our people. And I know that we agree on the fact that we are extremely grateful for the privilege to do this weekly. Let's begin our communion with prayer and thanksgiving. Father God, we just come before you once again, just thanking you for this opportunity to speak to your people, those you've entrusted us with, those that you've allowed us to speak to through this venture, the Spoken Verity Podcast. Lord, we understand that as we continue in this space, being led by your Spirit, that we don't take this lightly. We understand that handling the Word of God deceitfully is to operate in a place of idolatry, speaking our own words as opposed to your words only. Father, we recognize, Lord God, in humility, that our continued devotion to you keeps that idolatry out, keeps pride out, keeps the works of the flesh out. And Father, as we continue to unpack this in talking about image and identity, Father, we recognize and ask that your presence comes in to speak through us as you've been doing. We ask you to continue to do that. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The 40th installment of the Spoken Verity Podcast addressed the issue of idolatry in the life of a believer in Jesus Christ. Anyone or anything we put before our sovereign God is idolatry. We are commanded to not have any other gods before our God. This episode was Brother Remy's to lead, and he, by Holy Spirit, gave us revelation of verity that compelled us to take a look at where we are in relation to those verities. And he will revisit these again in a moment. Remember to subscribe and listen to TSV, as well as share our podcast as Holy Spirit directs you. You can also pick us up on our website, thespokenverity.fm. We thank you, our faithful listeners, for your continued support. Man of God.
Thank you, Rev. So as the Reverend said, we looked at idolatry for the 40th episode of your favorite podcast, because it is another subtle way the enemy uses to steal, kill, and destroy. So the Holy Spirit led us to examine idolatry. And in doing so, we defined idolatry using scripture, because the Bible references idolatry in various verses, but we looked at just a couple of them, identifying how idolatry is tied to rebellion, to stubbornness, to arrogance, and to covetousness. We also then moved into discussing why idolatry is dangerous for a follower of Jesus Christ, because it has the wrath of God, as we see in various passages of scripture, Exodus 24 through 5 and Colossians 3 verse 5. And then finally, we identified some common forms of idolatry in our world today, and how can a follower of Jesus Christ overcome these idols? Now, the overarching theme is humility and spending time with Holy Spirit in devotion. But we encourage you, if you missed that episode, go back and listen, or if you want to listen to any of our previous 39 episodes, you can find them wherever you consume podcasts, as a Reverend said, or on our website, thespokenverity.fm. Thank you, brother.
Brother, just to add a little bit before I open our 41st conversation, as believers in Jesus Christ, if we are not yielded to the direction of the whole counsel of God, we are in idolatry. If you're not in direct fidelity and humility and devotion to our God, you are in idolatry. Something is before him, which is keeping you from doing that.
Yes.
So that's that part, just to add that to your recap, is something that will allow us to now set the stage for the 41st conversation. TSB audience, that was a tremendously pulling episode. And when I say pulling, I mean pulling things out of your spirit, identifying, shining lights on certain things so that you can now recognize, where am I in relation to these verities? So take a listen to it and see where Holy Spirit leads you. As I begin our conversation for this episode, Image versus Identity, I am saddened by what I see in some places of the church today. We, as believers in Jesus Christ, have an image problem, an identity problem. In some respects, we mirror the world's process in how we live our lives while identifying with the cares of life as if they are our own. Do we believe scripture that says we are in this world but not of it? Do we know that we are bought with a price? Do we even know what that means? Even though the title of this episode denotes a battle, in truth, this episode will demonstrate to you, our global audience, the connection of both in the life of a believer and the enemy's constant attack on what he has no power over. Specifically, God's image in humanity and the identifying attributes of his spirit that are present in every believer. 1 Corinthians 6:15 through 20 sets up our communion today by capturing who we are in Christ and how we use our bodies in relation to our spiritual identity in and through the one that created our bodies for us to walk this natural life in. This is from the King James. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Look at verse 17 and 20 closely. As members of the body of Christ, our whole being, not just our body, our whole being is joined to our God. We are a part of him, made in his image. We are his prized possessions. James 1:18 from the New Living Translation says he chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. When we use the bodies God has given us for our own pleasure, that is against his written word, then we are operating in a prideful, idolatrous manner in the sense that our disobedience is telling God that our way is the way, as opposed to God's direction for our bodies. I am starting with our bodies here because we cannot separate God's image from our natural bodies. We see this attempted separation in all aspects of human life, and more disturbingly, in some aspects of the church. In the familiar Old Testament verses of Genesis 1, 26 through 27, we read, "And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Genesis 2:7 says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." These verses of scripture, without question, tethers our bodies and our spirits to our Creator, God Almighty. So putting a pin there, let's read a New Testament passage as well that supports the truth that all men are made in God's image. James 3:9, "Therewith we bless God even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Those verses in Genesis speak of who man is, saved or unsaved. We are all made in the image of God, the visible and invisible reflection of him. James 3:9 shows us, again with clarity, that all men are made after the similitude or image of God. Without Christ, you are still connected to the old fallen sin nature that Adam's disobedience enacted. As an unbeliever, you are still made in God's image, but you are not Christ. God doesn't see what remits your sin nature before him, the blood of his son. Although created by him and thus having his image, his likeness, you have no connection to him because of your acceptance and identification with the enemy of your soul. Bringing image and identity back into alignment, as opposed to the current attempted separation by the enemy and those that have chosen to participate in that idolatrous state, is a part of our aim today. Before we segue into our dialogue portion of the show, brother, you have anything for the people to add for my opening?
Yes, brother. While you were speaking, a verse dropped in my spirit in the middle of Paul's exhortation to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 5, from the 22nd verse down to the 31st, is where he's talking about marriage and Christ and his relationship. But in verse 30, he says, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." To that point you made about being connected with him, made in his image. I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Yeah. Brother, continue speaking verity here. And answer the first discussion question. What does made in the image of God mean in the life of a believer in Jesus Christ? Now, I've been very specific in this because we're talking about believers in Jesus Christ made in the image of God. I talked about earlier how we are all made in the image of God, all of mankind. But this question is specifically talking about believers. Brother Sozo.
Thank you, brother. So, you've already read Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28, so I won't go over it again. But the image of God is not just something that we have in a sense like a possession, but rather it is who we are, in the sense that by being made in the image of God, which you've already shared this, we visibly mirror God's spiritual nature in a formal, tangible, and understandable representation. But for me to completely answer your question, Rev, I have to address what sin did to that image and then why Christ had to come in order for me to answer what does made in the image of God mean in the life of a believer in Jesus Christ.
Say that.
First, we know that all people, like you have said, not just believers in Jesus Christ, but all people are made in the likeness of God. And we will continue to touch on that as we proceed in other segments of this episode. Now, when sin entered the world through Adam and Eve's disobedience against God in Genesis 3, the image of God wasn't destroyed nor removed from us, but it was disformed or blemished, if you will, causing man to not fully reflect God's divine nature and holiness as originally intended. Mm-hmm. Our moral purity was lost, our intellect corrupted, and our relationships governed by selfishness. So, because man still holds this image of God within him, there is a need of redemption. There is a need of reconnection, so to speak, repairing of that image back to its original initial design. That brings us to why Christ had to come. Jesus Christ came to restore that image of God within us so that we can become more like God as he originally designed us to be in Genesis chapter 1. Now, as believers in Jesus Christ, this image is being renewed by our knowledge of Jesus. We see this verity in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him.
Amen. Preach that, brother.
Bro. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 tells us what happens as we continue to grow in that knowledge. Reading from the New King James Version. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Rev, that's what's made in the image of God mean in the life of a believer in Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother. You know, when I answer this question, I'm going to be reiterating approximately 90% of what you just said. And the great part about this is that when we are talking about the image of God, it's very clear in Scripture, made in the image of God. Now, there are ways to express that, and that's where humanity comes in terms of how we have allowed the Spirit of God, the image of God, for us to conform to the image of Jesus Christ and how that relates into how we live in this natural life. But in terms of what the image of God is, what does that mean? That is who we are. And there's nothing to be able to pull from another place. It's specifically in the Word of God.
Come on.
The scriptures that you just laid out, coupled with a couple more that I have here, is going to make it very clear for every believer in Jesus Christ what it means to be made in the image of God. So to reiterate a verity I spoke in my opening, and something that you stated, we are all made in the image of God. The question asks, what does being made in the image of God mean to a believer? So again, we're making the distinction here between a believer and an unbeliever. When we received Jesus Christ as our risen personal Savior, we went from spiritual death to eternal life through Him. So you started your answer by unpacking salvation. And this is something that's very important as well, because this is where it starts. Moving from unbeliever to believer, moving from the marred image that happened with Adam's sin to the newness of life that we have in Jesus Christ, conforming to Him. And this is the part here that will allow our audience to see the tethering of the image of God and the identity, our spiritual identity. The old sin nature has passed away. So this is coming from the death cycle to the life cycle. And now we have the newness of life in Christ. We are new creatures in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 attests to this eternal truth. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Hallelujah. All things have become new. Even though we are all made in the image of God, unbelievers do not function as His children, considering the fallen sin nature they still have, and that we were all subject to before belief and confession of Jesus Christ. There are some heresies that are floating out here that says that because you are made in the image of God, you don't have to confess Jesus as Lord because you are already God's. You being made in the image of God doesn't give you eternal life. Belief and confession of His Son guarantees it. That being fully established, being made in the image of God for a believer means that as a believer, he now has the standing through Christ to be lovingly conformed to His image, His likeness in the earth. In Romans 8, 28 through 29, we read, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Recall, TSV family, that an image is a reflection, a likeness of what is being reflected. We touched on this a little bit in my opening, and Brother Remy expanded upon that, and I'm going to add a little bit here. When you look in the mirror, you are not looking at yourself. You are looking at your reflection, your image. This is much the same for a believer in Jesus Christ, in the sense that God wants us, His children, to mirror Christ in how we live on this earth, so that we can fulfill His purpose for our lives, so that we can be a part of soul winning. As a believer in Jesus Christ, these two verses have a condition to them. We must continue to pursue the conforming to the image of Jesus through daily word and prayer devotion, along with fully yielding to Holy Spirit in all things pertaining to life and godliness. We cannot choose our own way and expect God to conform to our will. 2 Peter 1, 2 and 3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Following this leading denotes you as a son of God and will allow for all things to work together for your good, receiving the exceeding great and precious promises that comes from living out our calling to glory and virtue. This is all through our faith in Jesus Christ and not of our own strength and ability, brother. All the while us seeking conformity to the image of the Son of God. Now, brother, before we go into this second question and dive in some more, you got anything else for our people?
Yes, brother. Because the Bible tells us, right, from that verse which you read, that God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Now, when I bring your question in, as in what does this mean in the believer of Jesus Christ? Because, okay, in my response, my first response, I traced the salvation, which now flips us into being believers. Now, as a believer, you have been reconnected. You have been restored to that likeness. Now you have authority, which was stolen. Mm-hmm. Now you have dominion, which he gave you initially.
Yes.
So I say all this to say, being made in the image of God, what it means in the life of a believer in Jesus Christ is that you have to walk in that authority that you have. You have that relationship that he wanted initially, which Adam and Eve marred and Christ restored. You have it now. Walk in it. Walk in his authority. Walk in fellowship with him. Become one with him, not just in thoughts, but in words and action.
Amen. That fellowship piece is how we're conforming. This is how we conform.
Yes.
Spending time.
Yes.
If you spend time with other things, that's what you're going to conform to.
Ah.
That's something that I talk to my family about. Look at your life. How much time do you spend in the word and in prayer and in praise to our God? If that level, if that time is significantly less or even less, doesn't have to be significantly, then the worldly things of life, and I'm not talking about sin, I'm just talking about actions, daily tasks, things that you have to do, then you're still out of balance.
Yep.
You're still out of line.
Yeah.
You must have and keep our God within all of your thoughts, within all of your ways. When you acknowledge him, he will direct your path. So that's the devotion piece. That's the conforming to the image of his son. Brother, we are having an end time conversation today, focusing on being made in the image of God for this first segment. Now, as we transition here, I'm going to bring my brother back on the mic for this middle stanza. Brother, how does spiritual identity differ from human identity?
I'm going to read two passages of scripture to answer this question, starting in Romans 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The second passage, John 6, 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing.
Hmm.
This is Jesus. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life, but there are some of you who do not believe. So in those two passages of scripture, we see a reference to the Spirit, which is the life within a believer. So we're looking at the difference between a spiritual identity and a human identity. The human identity is sickness, frailty, brokenness, poverty, like everything attached to the earth. The spiritual identity is victory, is eternal life. It's being made in the image and likeness of God. It's being sons and daughters of God. Right, Reverend?
Yes.
So when we look at that now, like this is kind of like a juxtaposition, if you will. The way to really look at this is the spiritual identity means that we have the image of Christ. I like that distinction you used in the first stanza because, yes, we are made in the image of God, but when, as believers in Jesus Christ, now we have the image of Christ. And in trying to go deeper into that, it means that we have restored our image given to us from God in Genesis chapter 1, right? So now by Christ coming and dying for us and we taking that step to believe in him and confess him as Lord, we have now been restored. We now have the image of Christ. So the Bible talks about all things have passed away. And I think you touched on this as well. All things have passed away and all things have become new. So the spiritual identity for me, looking at it, means that I see things through the lens of the how the Holy Spirit see it. I am not attached to my human identity. I shared this in a couple of episodes ago, a revelation I had conversating with my brother, how he was referencing to the flesh as a third party, because now there is this distinction, there is a separation that the flesh is not me. Like, oh yeah, the flesh wants to do this. The flesh wants to watch that show. Not I wants to do it, because now I realize that I have been connected. I am a spirit. The flesh might want what it wants, but here I am as a spirit, understanding that I must only seek what the Father wants me to seek.
Amen, Brother Sozo. Your commentary here has opened up the door for me to go a little bit deeper, just in terms of how we connect both in understanding the image and the identity. And what I could take from what you said was, is that humanity is connected to the fallen sin nature that comes from what Adam did in the garden. And that's what makes us human in terms of not operating according to the spiritual identity that we have that is found in the Word of God without Christ.
Yes.
That's what that is. And that's what you were sharing. And as we continue into this next question, we have to make sure that we understand the differences between spiritual identity and human identity.
Yes.
So before I answer the question, I'm going to define both for our audience, and then they can use this as context as they listen to my answer and then use that as a filter to listen to the answer that you just gave us. We find our spiritual identity in the Word of God, specifically concerning all that is said in the Word of God that identifies us as children of God. The attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, as detailed in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, are indicators of our spiritual identity. This is where we get and know where our spiritual identity comes from, from the Word of God, through Holy Spirit. You talked about that a little bit earlier, and let me dive a little deeper here. There are several verses in the Word that illuminates for us our spiritual identity. However, I want to focus on two sets of scripture, in 1 John 3, 2 and 3, and then in 1 Corinthians 1, 30 and 31. And this will sharpen the revealing of our spiritual identity here. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. So now here's letting us know, setting us in our proper position. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Again, identifying with our God. And then in 1 Corinthians 1, 30 and 31, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus. Again, setting the stage, letting you know where you are. Who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. You see from these two sets of scriptures that hope in Jesus purifies your spirit, and that because of him, we are righteous, holy, and redeemed. In this identity, we must proclaim. It is this identity we must embrace. TSV family, do you believe your hope in Christ purifies your spirit? Do you know that you are righteous, holy, and redeemed by what our God did for us through Jesus Christ? Do you identify with who you are spiritually, that with continued conforming to his image and renewal of your mind will produce God's nature and God's purposes for your life in the earth? As you meditate on that, TSV family, and before I start to discuss human identity, Brother Sozo, you got anything you want to drop in here?
When you shared 1 John 3, I'm reminded of Romans 8, 15, where it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father."
Come on.
You know what's interesting? I found out that some states in the U.S. here where we live, where we currently live, parents can write their kids out of their will, but they cannot write their adopted children out of the will. Hmm. Like if you go and adopt a child, that child is tethered to you.
Hmm.
I say that to say when the Bible tells us that we have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, if you go and trace what that word means in the times where this was written, and even till now, Abba, Father, it's a deep, intimate call of a child to a parent in the Jewish culture. I just wanted to add that in our conversation.
No, that's good, brother. The adoption piece. We are adopted. We are engrafted. We have been brought in to fellowship and communion with our God through our acceptance, belief, and confession of Jesus Christ. I appreciate you adding that piece to the conversation. As I continue my answer for this first segment, we've talked a lot about and focused a lot on our spiritual identity. We have laid that out and made it clear as to where it comes from and who we relate to. So now we're going to discuss a little bit about human identity here, because you can't separate the two. Our whole being is spirit and body. So spirit, soul, and body, but specifically spirit and body as it relates to this. It's very important for us to recognize that you can't separate the two, and that will be supported by scripture. Now, at a high level, human identity is really defined as how we view ourselves and how others view us. It is not our physical makeup that denotes us as made in the image of God, even though the enemy of our souls attempts to change that as well, that meaning our physical makeup. We will discuss that a little later in this episode. The image of God you were made in cannot be changed, but how you identify with his spirit on the inside of you, connected to your reborn spirit by conforming to the image of his son, keeps your human flesh identity in line with his word. Our life experiences help shape what you think about and how you identify with yourself. In this area of who we are, the flesh and blood body we live in, and our thinking in the sense of how we connect naturally to this world we live in, is a place where the enemy of our souls attempts to subvert and change. He cannot change your eternal spirit made in the image of God. He does not determine who goes to heaven or hell. Part of his aim is infiltrating your thinking so that you tether your feelings to your humanity and not your spirit. If those feelings about yourself are not addressed through what our God says about you in his written word, they will manifest in your actions in an ungodly manner, thus denying the identity of who you are in Christ. This is called living and sowing after the flesh, as opposed to living and sowing after the spirit. So let's look at how these spiritual and human or fleshly identities differ. We do that with scripture starting in Galatians 5, 19 through 23. Concerning our spiritual identity and attributes, and then from the same chapter a few verses up, the identity or sameness and characteristics of fleshly actions. Galatians 5, 19 through 23, "And now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit," so here's the contrast, "is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The manifestation of the works of the flesh are the same for all of those that participate in them. When mankind operates in these fleshly actions, they are identifying with the nature of the enemy of our souls, not the image of God. They have based their identity on engaging with their sinful human nature as an unbeliever. And as a believer, they are denying their spiritual identity, we read in verse 22 and 23. What does this look like in the world today? Human beings identifying with a gender they were not lovingly given by God and then attempting to change their natural house to fit their feelings about their gender. Identifying with the worldly choice of homosexuality and engaging with that sin. Identifying with murder when choosing to abort an unborn child. What about identifying with the color of one's skin or ethnicity, its culture, or its traditions, when in direct opposition to the living word of God? In essence, this is all identifying with the works of the flesh we read in verses 19 through 21. For as a believer, it's acceptance of the works of the flesh as who you are, as opposed to the newness of life in Christ Jesus, evidenced by the fruit of the Spirit we just read. We must view our spiritual identity as rooted in God's word and all that it says about us. Human or fleshly identity is rooted in how we view ourselves in relation to what the world says about us and what we believe concerning it. One way is sowing to our reborn spirit, which will allow for the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit inside of us as believers to produce. The other way is sowing to the flesh identity of the old man, which will manifest your participation of a lifestyle in the works of the flesh and disinherit you from the kingdom of God. Brother, do you have anything further for the people before we go to our concluding segment?
Yes, brother, I do. Continuing after that verse I read earlier, if we go down to verse 16 of that same chapter, Romans 8, verse 16, it says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God."
Yes.
"And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ."
Mm.
How else can it be defined here?
Mm.
It's like a prince being given birth to. Oh, this prince of this country or this king of this country just gave birth. The child immediately inherits that as a prince from birth. That's how God designed it. Adam and Eve did their thing. Christ came and restored it. So we've been restored back. Another prism through which I look at this, brother, is the story of the prodigal son.
Yes.
That's it, bro.
Yes. Living outside of his place.
Bro.
Yes. Taking himself from his seat of heirship and going down with those that are not operating in their heirship. Because that's what an unbeliever is. They're not operating in the newness of life found in Jesus Christ, seated with him in heavenly places. They're not there. They've denied it.
Mm. Right. To the extent that he's about to eat what the pigs are eating. Like, so again, as a believer in Jesus Christ, there is a level of authority that you have. Are you operating in it?
Come on.
Are you now hanging out? Like, oh, well, you know, it's okay. You know, God's time is the best. We try to look for all these little nice sayings to cover areas of our life that the Holy Spirit is telling you to come up higher. Instead of to engage in the Spirit more, instead of to spend time in devotion, you are not in your rightful place. You are a prodigal son. Your place is in the palace.
Come on.
But look at how the story of the prodigal son continues.
That's right.
When you return, he receives you, restores you back, which is what Christ did. Here you go, your royal robe. Here is your ring, which signifies authority. All of that.
Bringing you right back to the place to where you were. It didn't change it.
Come on.
It's already yours.
Come on.
So even if it took you 50 years to come to the knowledge of his son, you still have it. It's in you. Don't walk away from it. Don't allow the enemy of our souls to put you in a place of denying who you are, identifying more with your humanity as opposed to your spirituality. We'll talk a little bit more about that in our third and final segment. TSV family, our 41st dialogue is titled Image versus Identity. And so I'm going to bring my brother back on the mic as he was already hot with it earlier. And he's going to answer this question for us. And then I'll follow. As a believer in Jesus Christ, how does the enemy of our souls attack our identity, and what can we do to thwart those attacks? Now, we know, TSV audience, we typically end our conversation with some how-tos, some nuggets of truth, some places that you can now take and apply into your life. And Brother Sozo will enumerate that now. Go ahead, brother.
Bro, in answering this question, I'm going to go back again and read Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 28. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. Lean in now, family. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Distinction.
"Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." One area that I'm going to focus on here, brother, is gender. And that's why I went to read that verse.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. But here we have, now in our current society, no, I'm not a man, I want to be a woman. No, I'm not a woman, I want to be a man. I have these sexual urges because that's how I was created. God created me this way. Really? Is this what we see here in the Bible? A verse you read earlier in 1 Corinthians, talking about our bodies being members of Christ.
Yes.
I want to touch on a couple of verses that are close to it there. For it says, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body."
Hmm.
"Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, a little bit of that verse here is most focusing on believers because, okay, you've been bought by a price and you come to that realization, because we still see this happening in the church, which is crazy. And people are justifying it with all kinds of crazy things, where the Bible tells us here that this is a sin and you should flee it. Flee it, it says, run from it as fast as possible. So during our conversation in the 40th episode, I read Romans 1, 18 through 25. But I want to now start from verse 26. It says, "For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due."
Mm-mm.
"And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." TSV family, this is one area that the enemy has been operating presently, even in the church, where this predestined, ordained temple, God has decided that Remy will be a man, his brother Rev will be a man, their spouses will be women. We have looked at ourselves in idolatry, like, no, who is God? I like to be this way. Let me change. Hmm. And then not knowing that in doing that, we are even giving more room for the enemy of our souls to attack us, to attack our spiritual identity. Again, I read from Genesis what he said. "I'll create man in our image, and male and female, he created them." Then he gave them dominion. And now taking ourselves out, like, no, I don't want to continue that way. We allow the enemy of our souls to attack our identity of who we are by wanting to change our makeup. And this is all just in the flesh, manifesting in the flesh, but it starts off in the spirit. But Rev, that's one area I want to answer your question for now.
Thank you, brother. What you're talking about specifically here is the tethering of your mindset to your humanity. And so then you filter your life through your humanity, which is connected to the fallen sin nature, as opposed to the image of God that comes from the conforming to the image of his son. And so then you decide that I look at myself and I don't like what I see. I don't like who I am. Now, why don't you like that? You have been tempted by the enemy of your soul to focus on faults and frailties and issues of life and humanity. That happened. That happened because of Adam. We didn't have any choice over that. But the choice we do have is to be conformed to the image of his son, is to step away from the humanity piece and to look at the spiritual piece. We are spirit having a natural experience. And a lot of times we focus on our humanity only.
Yes.
I'm human. This is what it is. That's what happens.
Yes.
And to a certain extent, there are certain things that are human that limit us in this natural realm, limit our spirits, meaning our spirits are eternal. And when we leave this natural body, we will not have any restrictions. So in this natural realm, there is a restriction in that sense, but not beyond what has already been purposed by our God. You don't restrict it. He already determined it. And this then now pushes you and compels you to go towards the image, to go towards the identity that we have in Christ Jesus. This is the place that we must stay, because that keeps us from the wicked one, identifying with who we are, our eternal spirits, not the humanity of this walk that we have that is limited to the certain number of years that have already been purposed by Almighty God. So this piece here, brother, as a believer in Jesus Christ, how does the enemy of our souls attack our identity? And then what can we do to thwart those attacks? So keeping in mind that he cannot change our image. See, the enemy can't do that. He can't change the image of God. He has no power and no authority over God's creation, over anything, unless you give it to him in terms of him being able to use your authority and then direct it. Not that he has any authority, not that he can subvert and change it to where he has it in and of himself, to where he can direct it as he wants to. He has to get you to participate. We have talked about this in several episodes. We will continue to reiterate that for as long as God allows us this platform. He has to, the enemy has to get you to participate. He attempts to attack us through our identity, in the sense that he tempts us to focus on our humanity as opposed to our spirituality. That's what he wants to do.
Yes.
Focus on being human.
Come on.
Focus on the issues of life that come with humanity, not what the Lord said in his word concerning that issue. Not any of that, because that's too fanatical. It's too much effort. Stay here. It's safe. It's easier. And all he's doing is pulling you into idolatry, pulling you into a place of disobedience, pulling you into a place to operate through you, to thwart you from doing what God has called for you to do in the earth. We must believe what the word of God says about us, what it tells us our identity in Christ is as a new creature, as opposed to believing the lies of Satan concerning our human identity. This mindset tends to the flesh if left unattended, and our continued mind renewal to life and godliness will address the flesh mindset. Now, brother, we discussed some of the attacks to our gender, sexuality, and conduct in the second stanza, and you touched on this a little bit in your answer to the third question. But where do they come from? And where do they attempt to root these attacks? The enemy of our souls attacks our thinking, which is within our souls, connected to our spirits by our heart. And you talked about this a little bit, and these are the intersections here. The heart is between the spirit and soul. Hebrews 4:12 tethers all three when the text says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The first part of Proverbs 23:7 says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. We have applied this scripture to almost every conversation we have had on our podcast, brother, because what you think about in your heart gives rise to your actions. The last part of Luke 6:45 from the New Living Translation says, what you say flows from what is in your heart. Proverbs 4:23 from the NIV says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So when you are guarding your heart, you are guarding your thinking and your spirit. You keep your heart with all diligence by identifying and then proclaiming what the word of God says about you and not what the world says. Not your way of thinking, not your way of living. You don't meditate on Satan's lies about any area of your life. You do not allow the human realities of life to alter what is yours through belief and confession of Jesus Christ. You continue to pursue conformity to the image of Jesus Christ in the earth, presenting his conduct and character to the world through the life you live. Now, Sozo, as I close my answer, I'm going to hearken us back to what we repeated as a constant refrain in our episode on unforgiveness in 39. Now, you led this episode, brother, and specifically the enemy of our souls is doing all he can to get us to choose to deny who we are in Christ as believers. He has already made his denying choice and he can't change it. So he's attempting to get us to identify with the world so that he can use that sin to take a stronghold in our lives. This is why so many believers in Jesus Christ live defeated lives. They are defeated in their relationships, their health, their finances, which can thwart what God wants to do through them in the earth. However, remember, we are spirit first. So God's purposes for your eternality cannot be thwarted by the enemy or even the purposes in the earth he sovereignly decrees you for, thus overriding your will. God knows whether you will conform to the image of his son or if you will hold to your old identity. So, Brother Sozo, our choosing to adhere to the whole counsel of God concerning our identity in him through his son reveals how much of his will we will fulfill in the earth. Anything additional for our audience, brother, before we conclude?
Yes, brother, yes. Looking at what you just said, brother, I remember also in that episode of unforgiveness, which seems like it's been a thread since then, continuously as we go forward. But you talked about how the enemy is using us against ourselves. And that's what's happening here. When you said it again, it came back into my spirit. He's attempting to use our authority against us. He has none. He has no authority at all. So what he's attempting to do is now, like it says in John 10:10, he's here to steal, kill, and destroy. And what he wants to do now is to use our authority against us, And you talked about focusing on our humanity. Yes, he gets us to focus on the flesh because that's where he lives. That's where he dwells. He's in the flesh. So that's where he wants us to be. And one great example of this is when Christ was tempted. We see where he was like, oh, okay, if you are the Son of God. That's what it is, right?
Right. Questioning his identity.
Yes.
Who he is.
You are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, oh, you are this, right? Do this. You are this, right? Do this. And as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, what was his example? It is written.
The word of God. Yes, sir.
Pekaba. Bro.
Yes, sir.
It is written. You must have that word. That's why the Bible calls it the sword of the Spirit. So you
That's where your identity comes from.
Bro.
The word of God. That's what I was saying earlier, and you're reiterating it here before we close. This is important, TSV family. Your identity comes from the word of God. That's why you must study it and to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you do not know what the word of God says, how will you be able to identify with it?
You won't.
This is the challenge here. This is the scenario of life that we must do. And it takes effort.
Yes.
We want things to just kind of happen. That's the world we live in.
Yeah.
Quick, immediate. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to go through processes. Nobody
microwave.
Wants to go through. Mm-hmm. Yes, immediately. Mm-hmm. But that's not how it works.
No.
That's not how a seed works. When it's sowed, woo! It continues. It has to go through its process. It's already been sovereignly purposed.
Come
but
on.
When it does, it will produce. A tomato will produce a tomato.
Ooh.
It will happen. Ooh. But you have to allow the process to take place.
Mm.
And that's so what's happening here. Yeah.
Sorry, brother. I wanted to say so that you may bring forth much fruit.
Absolutely. Amen. But see, we stunt that process by identifying with our humanity.
Yes.
Our spirit having a natural experience.
Yes.
Not natural, having a spiritual experience. Obviously, you're living in this natural realm. There's no spirituality in terms of living life. It's marred.
Yes.
Even in churches, unfortunately, we're hearing doctrines of devils.
Mm.
I've heard it said that it's genetically altered.
Yes.
Gospel.
Yes.
It's not the true essence of the word of God.
Mm-mm.
It's not talking about the image of God, the identity of the spirit through the conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. It's talking about how we feel about this scenario or our mental health. All of that lines up with scripture, your mental health. It says, and patience possess your soul. Mm-hmm. Scripture tells you what to do with it, but instead we medicate it. We satiate it with the things in the world. We are fighting the spirit with the natural.
Natural.
You can't win that way. Yeah, you won't win that way. Yeah. Scripture says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Don't wrestle against this natural body. You put it in line.
Yes.
And you put it in line by immersing yourself with the word of God. Putting more word in than world in.
Come on.
And if you don't do it in that capacity, you will struggle.
Bro,
you will have challenges.
Bro.
You will have issues, and you'll look to blame everyone else. Then here comes unforgiveness. Here comes idolatry. Here comes these different sins, these different works of the flesh, because you have yielded to humanity as opposed to yielding and conforming to the image of his son.
Bro, you know, when you talk about that genetically altered, I remember recently, maybe a couple of years back, where I started coming across people wanting to now place a gender on our sovereign God. Oh, it's a female, because, you know, I'm like, are you serious? And even from the pulpits, people are leaning towards this, trying to now have some kind of, like, he is above all that.
Scripture says he is spirit.
Yay.
He's the originator.
Mm-hmm.
So all things flow out of him.
Come
he
on.
Is all things. And because of him, all things consist. So don't attempt to put a label on God. See, that's the other part of it. Now, that's another show, actually.
Bro.
But the point is that he is God. He is spirit. So everything emanates from him.
Come on.
So you don't define the originator through the creation. That's not
Come
how
on.
You define our God.
Come on.
He is spirit. That's where you stay. Anything other than that is idolatry. Anything other than that is prideful at its core and is a work of the flesh. It comes from the enemy to in his attempt to mute God in this natural realm.
Yes.
Which he cannot do.
He cannot. He's a defeated foe.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, TSV family, as we conclude our 41st installment today, let me reinforce a few points of emphasis from our communion. All of mankind, spirit, soul, and body, is made in the image of God, but not all of mankind are his. Only belief and confession of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior redeems you back to the Father in right standing with him. The enemy of our souls wants all of us, believers and unbelievers alike, to reject the image of God and our spiritual identity we find in him and reflect the fleshly works of darkness attributable to Satan. He wants this to be a willful act in his attempt to keep you from your purpose. If he can get you to question who you are as a believer in Jesus Christ and all that that entails, then he can minister to you what he wants you to believe about yourself. If he can get you to focus on your humanity, to get you to elevate what you think, speak, and do above your spirit and its identity found through conformity to the image of Christ, then he can work the fleshly manifestations we read earlier in your life. You have rejected the image of God for what you deem is right. You were tempted by the enemy of your soul, and you made the choice to conform to the demonic works of the flesh. TSV family, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof are death. Conforming to the image of Jesus Christ by connecting to your spiritual identity, detailed for us in the Word of God, keeps your spirit, soul, and body in complete subjection to our God, meet for his use. Brother Sozo, what do we have for our 42nd episode?
Brother, for our conversation in the 42nd episode, we will be focusing on our first ministry, the family.
Bringing it back. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
It's going to be a great episode.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's close episode 41 in prayer. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that your word was preached, that your word was spoken, that your word was lovingly expressed through Brother Sozo and myself for this episode. We thank you, Lord God, that we recognize that our image is only reflective of you. And even in that space, Lord God, if we're not believers, the image is still there. It can't be changed. It may be marred through the sin of Adam, but it cannot be changed. The restoration to that through the identity and conforming to the image of Jesus Christ is our aim. And we operate in that place by belief and confession of your son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I thank you that, Lord God, we were able to unpack that for our audience, that they were able to see the differences between the two, Father God, and understanding that we can't change our identity. We cannot change our image that's been made through you. We can't change those things. And in our attempts to do that, Father God, is to deny who we are. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that we continue to walk this out. There's more that you're going to share with us. There's more that we're going to send and unpack to our audience. And Father, in humility, we just thank you. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you that we continue to do this, Lord God, in love and in gratitude for the people that you sent us to. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for listening to TSV this week. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you use to do so. Please know that we love and care about you. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your risen personal Savior, we invite you to do so today. Please go to thespokenverity.fm/salvation to accept the leading of Holy Spirit and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Until our next encounter, speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God in love. All the blessings.